But there is a word from the Lord. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. If you have your Bibles, your electronic devices, turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord. No, Lord." Have you ever said that to the Lord? "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. I want to talk to us for these next few moments from the subject, a case of bubble-itis. A case of bubble-itis. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We love your word. God, thank you for the privilege of being proclaimers of your word. Rather, it doesn't matter whether we do it from a pulpit or whether we do it from a gymnasium, that you called us all to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a dark world that needs to know about the light of Jesus. God, you have empowered us by your spirit to do it already. Encourage us even now. Embolden us by your spirit, oh God, to be a people who would proclaim your name wherever we go. That we would get outside of our own bubbles and our ways of thinking and our own world and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, somebody said a long time ago that I think we all have this tendency to live in our own little unique bubbles. That we live in bubbles. That we survive. We survive in our bubble. There's a man, your boy, his name was David Vedder. Perhaps some of you have heard his name, that David had to survive in a bubble. That he was born in 1971 with what's called severe combined immunodeficiency. It's a disease. It's a condition whereby if any germs really get into his body, the smallest trace amounts of germs or bacteria get into his body, that he would die. And so when he was born, when he was just a baby, that scientists built this huge bubble for David to live in, a plastic bubble. And they would pump in pure air to make sure that his environment stayed sterile, that it stayed clean. Can you imagine David in this bubble? Very little human touch. Whenever his parents had to touch him, they had to put gloves on. Whenever they held him in their arm, they were suited up. He was suited up. Very little skin-to-skin contact with little David. That he was isolated. That he was in a world of his own. That I'm sure he would have opportunity to look at television, see other children playing, but David couldn't do that. That he was in a world all by himself. That David existed in his plastic bubble. David spent his entire life. He died at 12 years old from complications from his condition. He died and was known as the boy in the plastic bubble. David was born, and like so many others, they're born and been placed into a bubble. But most of us, y'all, we create our own bubble. The book of Acts. It's an exciting book. It's about the mighty move of the Holy Spirit. It's about the growth and the expansion of the early church, the first church. I love the book of Acts because when you really delve into it and read it, you see how much diversity and inclusion there is in the church. The people from all ethnic groups, from countries and different places came together and they worshiped and they praised God together. That when the Holy Spirit fell and came, that there were many people from different countries that came together and they heard the disciples speaking in their own languages, diversity and inclusion. How many of y'all know today that we live in a world, we live in a society, even in churches where people don't want diversity. they don't want inclusion. But God was doing a new thing, a great thing, a spectacular thing in this early church. But many people didn't understand. They didn't understand what God was trying, what he was trying to do. And so after Peter preaches hard, y'all, after he does all of these miracles, we get up to chapter 10 in Acts. And so it's the story about Cornelius, this Roman soldier, who's called by God to call out Peter and go to Peter and have him come to them and hear the word of God. That this Roman soldier, not a Jew, that he's a Roman soldier, but the text says he was a God-fearer. That he loved God. Everybody that looks just like you, there are other people that don't look like you, but they love God too. That he was a God-fearer, and he showed it by giving to the poor. He showed it by praying all the time, that he didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. But as good as he was, he still needed Jesus in his life. And so that's where Peter comes into play. That Cornelius was praying one day and an angel appears to him in a vision. He said, Go, I want you to go to Joppa, to the house of Simon the tanner. And send some men out there and I want y'all to get Peter. And Peter was going to preach the gospel to them. So he follows the instructions. He gets three of his devout soldiers and they go out and they're on their way to Joppa. And this takes us to our text today. And so as the men are going there, that Peter goes on the rooftop of a house, Simon's house. Now I want y'all to get this picture now. And so he's up there and he's praying. And so I don't want anybody to get this idea. Listen, I can go up to my rooftop, you know, and you're gonna roll off that rascal and hurt yourself. But in that day, it was natural. It was a normal thing, the way houses were constructed, that you could go up on the rooftop and you could live on the rooftop of a house. And so some of y'all maybe have some penthouses, and you know the rooftop experience. And so while he's up there, well, the text says, listen, that he's in a trance and he sees this large sheet coming down. This vessel coming down, and it's filled with all sorts of animals, clean and unclean. And the Lord speaks to him. God says to him, listen, take, kill it, and eat it. And Peter says with his bold self, God, I heard you, but no, we ain't doing that. Peter was perplexed. He didn't understand. And can I say in part because, like many of us, y'all, Peter was suffering from bubblitis, that he understood his own life experience, his Jewish ways of being, that he abided by the Jewish law. And although it was God himself speaking to him, Peter said, no, God, I can't do this. That Peter was in the bubble of his Jewish worldview. Here's the reality. We all live in our own bubbles to some degree, don't we? Some people live in their Baptist bubble. The Presbyterian bubble, the Methodist bubble, the Pentecostal bubble. And unless you do it just like me, then listen, you are outside of my world. You're outside of my bubble, and you're strange to me. Bubblitis is a normal human condition. Physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and even religiously, we can be in our own bubbles. And a bubble is a comfortable place, y'all. It's safe as long as I'm in my own bubble. Listen, I'll get up here and I'll sing with the praise team all day long, but don't ask me to lead a solo. That's why I thank God for Sister Sandra that she stepped outside the bubble. Y'all, we like to live in our own neighborhoods. Oftentimes, we associate with people that look like us. We work alongside of people on jobs that probably have the same level of education that we have, that we have this social media silo, that we're searching and looking for people and things and ideas and thoughts that are on our page. That we live in a world today, y'all, where people are bubbled up, that they're living in their bubbles. Well, when I look at the news, I only look at this news because when I look at it, it's about what I'm about. That I won't look at this station or that station or this station. I'm just going to look at this because it's where I am in my world. And so we bubble up. That we get into our cliques, we get into our groups, we get into our crews, and we bubble up. Even in the church, y'all, we can bubble up, y'all. That we get into our life group. And that's my life group. And I'm doing life with my life group. So if I have to do for the next 20, 30, 40 years, that's my life group. I'm just talking to live in faith this morning. So what happens then when your life group gets so large and you need to divide and that's the purpose and get into a whole nother group, but you can't because I'm in my life. That's my life group. Now, I'm not saying that being in a bubble is all bad within itself, because it's not. That sometimes we need the safe. And sometimes we need the comfort, the comfortable, and the familiar. But what happens when my personal opinions, my preferences, and my prejudices prevail over God's purpose for my life? That God, I see what you're doing, and I heard what you said, but no, Lord, I can't do that. That we can suffer from bubblitis. And sometimes, y'all, it's so hard to get it out of our heads. It's so hard to get it out of our systems. But I just believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see what God wants us to do, where God is working in our lives, we'll work with God and we'll get outside of our bubbles. So if, in fact, God wants us to be people of diversity, expressing love for all people everywhere, and he does, and to show people the love of Christ, how do we personally and collectively overcome a case of what I call, it's just my word, bubblitis? Well, first thing I want us to know, and we already said this, that living in a bubble, y'all, it can be pleasant. Because it's comfortable and it's safe and it's predictable that Peter was operating in his Jewishness. That Peter was a Jewish fisherman. He came from a Jewish family. He went to Jewish school. He had a Jewish education. That he taught Jewish talk amongst the Jews. That's what Peter knew. That was his bubble. That was his world. But then, when we look at our text today, it exposes something in Peter. That he gets this vision, which really comes from God. And God is really trying to show him something. That here's Peter, the great apostle of Jesus Christ, that he preaches to the council. People get saved. 3,000 souls were saved in one day. This is that Peter, a mighty man of God. But our text exposes something else in Peter. He, in the vision, and I read it before, the sheet came down. All sorts of animals were there, clean and unclean. And the Lord says, take and eat. And Peter said, no, I can't do that. No, Lord. Like I said before, when was the last time you said no to the Lord? Oh, y'all never done that before, duh. Y'all looking at me strange. Because I can't get outside of my world and how I'm feeling and my fears and my insecurities and my experiences and my education and what I know about the world. And God is speaking, but people won't get outside of their bubbles. If we don't believe in bubbles, look at church on a Sunday morning. That we divide based upon our denomination. We divide based upon the color of our skin. When if you go to many churches throughout the United States, people are preaching the same gospel of Jesus Christ. They're preaching sound doctrine, but we can't get outside of our bubbles in our own world. And so that's where Peter is in the text. But God has taken him somewhere, y'all. I think about Revelation chapter 3 where the Lord is speaking to the church at Laodicea. He says, I know everything about you. I know that you're neither hot nor cold, that you are simply lukewarm, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. But the church at Laodicea, they needed to get out of their comfortable place, their safe place. As long as we're comfortable and we'll feel safe, y'all, we won't have to do nothing. We won't move. I so enjoyed the testimony that Reverend Mike shared this morning. That listen, he could have stayed up in the bubble. I came here to work out. I didn't come here to talk to anybody about Jesus. But his Jesus radar was up, y'all. Who was it? The one that preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. That was Philip. You know that Philip wrote him. He met him on this road to Damascus. Gaza Strip. And here's the Ethiopian and they're reading from the book of Isaiah. He knew what he was reading. And God sent him to him, Philip to him, to tell him what he was reading. And that Ethiopian got saved that day. Yeah. Same thing with Mike. Yeah. Young brother didn't even know what the shirt meant. But do you think that was a coincidence? If Mike was here, listen, no, we ain't gonna share with him. Just keep on pumping out. Let's do our deal. But he listened to God. That he listened to the Spirit. Yeah. Get out. Y'all, that's what we're going to do as a church, y'all. We got to get outside of our bubble as God is taking us to 1111 Tally Road. Yeah. I say this to every member of this church. Think about it for a minute. Look around you. People of brown skin, that's not a whole lot of people in the city that look like us. So do you think God is calling us only to minister to people that look like us? Do our bubbles blind us so much that I can't see that all people need a relationship with Jesus Christ? Yeah. That we got to get outside of our bubble, y'all. But living in a bubble, well, it can be pleasant. And COVID has kind of bared this thing. It's helped us a whole lot, hadn't it? Because we were isolated for so long, y'all, that we weren't touching nobody. We were just where we were. If we went to the grocery store, we get our stuff, we put our mask on, and we go home, and we just stayed in our bubble. We stayed in our world. Guess what? A whole lot of people still staying in their world. Yeah. Even when people come to the church, we're still kind of in our own world. Let me ask you a question. Answer this yourself. So how many of you know at least 5 to 7 people that live around you in your neighborhood? You know their name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, some of y'all bold enough to raise your hand. Can I be authentic and real? I can do about 5. But beyond that, I don't know. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. Why don't you know? You walking through the neighborhood, you speaking to people. Can't you stop and just say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Now, listen, I am an introvert. I don't talk to folk like that. I'm not a socialite. That's not what it's about. It's about being about the business of Jesus Christ. It's about reaching people for the kingdom. And sometimes you have to get out of your box. You have to get out of your bubble for the cause of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Man, that's real talk. Y'all, we live in a world today where we got our Christian bubbles to the nth degree. That we got Christian books. We got Christian radio, Christian television. We got the Christian networks. But I'm not mad at that, though. Because in the world, we got our sports network. We got our food network, HGTV network. And that's all good. The problem comes when your network, your Christian network, becomes the only network. And we don't get outside of that bubble to see that there's a world that needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what happens when my Christian bubble collides with God's call to go and to reach people for the kingdom? That the bubble trouble happens when we get stuck in our bubbles. Y'all ever go to some churches? I love the church. I don't really like to stand up and talk against the church in any negative way. You know, we got enough folk in the world to do that for, so we don't need to do that. But have you ever gone to a church And it's like you step back in time. I mean, you done went back 30, 40, 50 years. They got the same old smelly red carpet. The same old pews that are broke. The same old out-of-tune piano. They singing all of the same old song. Can you sing something new every once in a while? It's just the same old offering board on the wall up there, attendance and offering. Y'all, that worked back in the day. It was an end thing. But what happens to churches in those situations? Oftentimes, not saying every situation, they become comfortable.
Yeah.
This is the way we do things. This is the way we always did things. It is going to be like this. But what about a world around you that needs to know Jesus Christ? They can't identify. They don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That we can become so comfortable. Living in a bubble can be pleasant. It can be comfortable. It can be safe. It can be predictable. And so it's easy for us to see then that living in a bubble can become a problem. It's not hard for us to see. Notice again, Peter is given divine vision, but his attention is drawn inward and not upward. That the Lord speaks to him. And Peter's perception, his way of thinking and experience, it was inward. No, I can't do this. That's what he's saying. Because the Jewish law, do you think God knew something about the Jewish law? The Jewish law won't allow me to do what you're asking me to do. Peter was looking inward and not upward. God was speaking to him, and this is a problem for Peter. This is often a problem for us. That God speaks. We listen. We hear. But because of our own bubbles, our response is, no, Lord. Can you witness to the person in the gymnasium? No, I'm here to work out. No, Lord. Can you tell your next door neighbor about Jesus? No, Lord, they're going to think I'm strange. Can you reach outside of your community, people that look like you, and can you just share the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, I can't do it, Lord. I can't because my insecurities or my fears or my ways of thinking or my ways of being won't let me do it. My tradition, my old way of thinking, my blindness won't let me do it. But I believe God is calling for the time such as this in this season for us to come outside of our bubbles, our ways of thinking, and witness to people that don't know him. Listen, on next Sunday, y'all, I'm preparing us for next Sunday. That we have an evangelist that's coming to share the word of God with us and to talk to us about the importance of evangelism. And one thing that's on our radar, has to be on our radar right now, is evangelism as a church. God is taking us into a new thing. He's taking us to a new place. And we can't go there saying us four and no more. That all of us working together have to get out and to evangelize and tell people about Jesus Christ. And here's the one true test to me. When that wooden box over there, y'all, it's our altar. It's where we baptize people. When we're wearing that thing out and maybe it's falling apart, then we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because it means we're bringing new converts to Jesus Christ. And so with our personal bubbles and our personal issues versus the priority of salvation in Jesus Christ, it has to be the priority of our lives. Too often times we try to clean fish before we can catch them. We try to clean them up. And we don't know how people will present themselves here. What road they've come down, what they've been through. But can we be a witness? Can we be a light? Can we love people as we should? As long as our attention is directed inward, our perceptions, our preferences, our opinions, we become blind to what God is trying to do in a new season. We become blind to it. And so God wants all of us to come out of our bubbleitis, out of our bubbles, to refuse to have tunnel vision and come out of the box. Because we have to have out of the box thinking. So bubbleitis can impact our relationships. And primarily it can impact our relationship with God. Now Peter didn't understand, but his answer is no. I wonder with Peter. Now so when you look at the text, there are all sorts of animals that are coming down, reptiles and all. Some are clean, Some are unclean. So really, the symbolic meaning of the text that, and God is trying to show Peter, listen, the clean animals, which represent the Jews, and the unclean animals, which represent the symbolic of the Gentiles, are coming together. But Peter couldn't recognize it. So it impacts his relationship in that very moment with God. God's going to make it plain to him in a minute here. He's going to make it plain. But in that moment, he couldn't see. He was blind to it. Again, he was used to his own Jewishness, his own Jewish experience, that it impacts our relationships with other people too. When I can sit next to you on a pew, but I'm thinking about my world and everything I'm dealing with and everything I'm going through, and I can't hear you, I can't see you. Yeah, for real, you ever been there before? You ever been talking to somebody, maybe it's a close friend, and maybe they are dealing with some stuff. But you've been talking to somebody and they flip the script on you, trying to tell them something about you, something that you're going through, something that you're dealing with, and they flip it right back on themselves. You know, yeah, I went through that 20 years ago, and it's all about their world. And look at me, don't look around. Look at me, don't look around. That impacts our relationships. We have to see each other. And by see each other, I mean really see each other. God, give me the spirit of discernment to know what my brother or my sister is going through, what they're dealing with. Help me to really see them, to see beyond skin, to see their heart, to see what they're going through. When God saves us, he changes our way of thinking and living and being and relating to one another and relating to him. When what he asks doesn't conform to our bubble, then we ought to defer to God. God, you're asking me to do something. That's outside of my purview. That's outside of my comfort zone. I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't feel safe with that. But if God is asking us to do it, we do it. We do it. We do it anyway. I wrote here, our extremities and limitations are God's opportunities to do great things and powerful things through us. Because our bubbles take us to our extremity. It's our limitation. I can't go any further than this. But God in his power and his glory will ask you to step outside of the bubble. For his glory, to do a mighty work for him. It's a problem when we stay inside of our bubbles, comfortable and safe, that listen, we don't want to deal with this or that. See, I've learned something. When God wants us to grow, y'all, God will make you uncomfortable. Did you hear what I said? When God wants you and me to grow, God will make us uncomfortable. Yeah. It's in the uncomfortable that we grow and become more mature. Yeah. So to come out of our places of safety and comfort, sometimes I've learned this too. If you can figure it out, if it makes all the sense in the world to you, if it's perfectly logical, if it's comfortable, if it's safe, I don't think that's God. Love that the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, and I'm looking out at farmland. God, what are you talking about? What do you see? I'm telling you to go. I'm telling you to go and build a church, but God, I don't see nothing but farmland. This don't make sense. It's not comfortable. It's not safe. That I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm doing good, y'all on my job. I'm a project manager for FedEx. I'm banking, y'all. I'm doing real good. But God says, this is not what I called you to. You know where I called you, and you said to me, no, Lord. So you're going to come this way again. That if it's God, oftentimes it's not comfortable. And so living in a bubble, it can be pleasant. But it can also be a problem. And finally, before we get out of here, I just want y'all to know this. And again, this is just in preparation for next week. So I'm excited about it. That the preacher's gonna come, the evangelist, he's gonna come and he's gonna share the word of God with us. And brother, he's fired up and I'm fired up and we're talking about evangelism and how we're gonna reach people for the kingdom. This last thing, God offers us a prescription for bubbleitis. We have a prescription. When stuck, y'all, there's a simple remedy. It's when God gives us, I like to call it this, opportunities to grow and to change. That's what he was giving Peter. This opportunity to grow and to mature in his faith. this Jewish Peter goes to the home, when you read chapter 10, to the home of this Roman Cornelius, and he shares the gospel with them. But when you read in the text, y'all, it's over in verse 28. Look what Peter said. Peter told them, you know that it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. Again, it exposes his bubble lighter. We ain't supposed to be doing this. This is not how it's supposed to go. But Peter goes on, but God showed me something different. God showed me I cannot call unclean what he's cleaned up. That I can't frown upon and put my head and look away because you nasty or you dirty. You don't look like me. You don't act like me. Come on. Peter got the point. Peter was able to get outside of his bubble. Peter said, but God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. God used this situation to get Peter outside of his bubble. Y'all know what happened after that? Read the story. That they gathered together, and Cornelius said that God told me about you. And listen, you are here now to preach the message of Jesus Christ. To preach the message. And Peter preached his message, y'all. Whole household got saved. Holy Spirit fell. They began to speak with other tongues. Listen, they got baptized. They had a Holy Ghost good time. All because Peter was able to get outside of his bubble. God's power to produce change requires living outside our bubbles, y'all. Leaving the comfortable and the safe. Pastor, real quick, I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 through 12. Let me read from the NIV. It says this. Like eagles that stir the nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him. Let me explain that real quick. What the text is saying is that God called Israel. And it's symbolic of the way an eagle takes care of its young. That's the eagle has to stir the nest because the baby eagles they're comfortable and they're safe. And so the adult eagle stirs the nest, and as they get out of the nest to spread their wings to fly because they're weak, that oftentimes they will fall. But what the other eagle, the adult eagle will do, as they're falling, it will come and swoop under it and catch it on its wings and take it down to the ground safely. What the text was saying, that's what God did for Israel. When they were weak and they could hardly fly, that God took care of them. That God was moving them outside of their nest, outside of their comfort zone. But God, like a mighty eagle, would swoop down and catch them and keep them safely throughout their lives. And God does the same thing. That's the good reason we can get outside the bubble. Because we don't always get it right. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fall. But God will catch us. And God will keep us. Well, what if they don't want to listen to me? I'm scared. I can't tell them about Jesus. Listen, as long as you're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Now, whether people receive it or listen to it, that's up to them. But God is using you and me as his vessel to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you gave that testimony this morning. And so, again, the book of Acts, y'all, let me shut it down. It's about the birth, the growth, and the expansion of the first church. The people from all nations and tongues, ethnicities, came together and they praised God. So how did the early church, which was so diverse and had so much inclusion, today become so divided? What happened? Bubbleitis. Did we break into our own groups and our own denominations, places where we're comfortable? You said something to me over at this church, so I'm going to start a ministry over there, so we got ministry everywhere. But we worship the same God. And we fall under the same banner of Jesus Christ. That we break into our own corner to have our own flavors of Christianity. But God is still faithful, y'all. God is still working in 2023. That his church is still alive. And how do you know? So Sister Jackie and I, we had the privilege of going to a conference in McAllen, Texas, way down south near the Mexico border, McAllen, Texas, and we attended a church conference. The name of the conference was The Family Gathering. And y'all, every day we had worship. And it brought me to tears as I watched hundreds and hundreds of people gather together in a room, in a conference center. Caucasians, African Americans, Pacific Islanders, Hispanic, Latino, that we gather together, people from different nations and tongues, worshiping God together, lifting holy hands together, yeah. Bowing before God together. Now, some people were clapping and they were offbeat, but we were worshiping together. Yeah, we had some folk there were from Nigeria. Y'all talking about some praisers. They were gone, y'all. They were doing it. But we did it together. It was the family gathering, y'all. That's what the church is all about. That's what corporate worship should look like, y'all. Black people and white people and people from everywhere gathered together, praising and worshiping God together. That's what the church should look like today. So can God burst your bubble? Can he burst your bubble? You know, being in the bubble is like saying, you know, listen, don't burst my bubble. Y'all know that saying, you can't burst my bubble. You can't take my joy, my expectations, my ways of being. But can God burst your bubble and my bubble for his higher purpose and his higher call? I think this is what it would look like, and I'm going to end in a minute, that if God could burst some of our bubbles, that people from the LGBTQIA+ community could sit in here and feel comfortable without people criticizing them. But you know what the Bible says about that stuff. That God made Adam and Eve, not God. No. And some of y'all feel uncomfortable with what I'm even saying right now. That, listen, people ought to be able to sit in here and sit under the Word of God and listen to the Word of God without being criticized and talked about and shunned. That people have different philosophies about abortion and abortion rights and a woman's right to her own body or what should be done in that situation. But we do believe that God believes in life. But can we come together? As a church, can we set aside our isms about this and that and we fall under the umbrella and the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ? Can we fall under that umbrella and agree with one another? The people from all walks of life, regardless of the color of their skin, the baby boomers and Gen X's and millennials and Gen Z's, we can get together and we can listen to and try to understand each other. I try to understand some millennials. I'm trying. But we can listen to each other and understand each other. Because I don't understand when I'm trying to talk to you and you're on your cell phone. You dissing me. No, they're not. They're listening. We got a group of people. They can listen to everything you're saying. They can do stuff on their phone. Yep, and respond to you at all the same time. They ADD. They can do it like that. But let me ask you again. Can God burst your bubble? Can you say like I really feel, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, I don't want to say no to you, God. I want to say yes to you. Even when I don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense, oh God, help me to get outside of my bubble, oh God, and do what you want me to do. God, I want to follow you. I want to obey you, God. I humble myself before you. Let no pride be in me, oh God. Get me out of my bubble. Whatever you have to do to get me out of my comfortable zone, Lord God. Get me out of that comfortable place so I can be a witness like Peter to Cornelius. And so many of the other apostles and disciples, as they did to the world back then, I want to be a witness for you. I want to see the way you see, the love the way you see, the love the way you love. I don't want to suffer from bubbleitis. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you, O God, for what you showed me while in McAllen, Texas. Thank you for how you spoke to my heart. And you said, this is what my church should look like. But so many of you are in your own bubbles, in your own world, that you can't see beyond your own stuff and your own way of being. But I called you to be different. I called you to be a light, to be salt, to be ambassadors, and not have your own personal preference and opinion about who's to be saved and who you don't talk to, who you do talk to. But whenever I speak to you by my Spirit, will you just share? Will you open your mouth? Will you go where I ask you to go? Do what I ask you to do. Get out of your bubble. God, I pray for someone right now that perhaps they're in a comfortable place. They're in a bubble. And inside that bubble, they're not seeing Jesus as he truly is, as the Savior of their lives. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you speak to hearts right now, that people would come to know who you truly are. God, that you would save to the utmost only as you can. Pull us out of our bubbles. Pull them out of their bubbles that they come to truly know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. And use us, oh God, as a church. Use us personally and collectively to be lights, to be witnesses. And our answer won't be no, Lord. But yes, even if it doesn't make sense, even if I don't understand, but God, because you're speaking, I say yes to you. If it's beyond my traditions and my ways of being, I still say yes to you. Now, this is our prayer as we move towards 1111 Tally Road, that we would be all that you called us to be that light that's set upon a hill. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to declare it wherever we go. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.